We have really got a remarkable trio of people coming up. I'm so happy that they are here. Mimi Zhang, Sue Powers, and Jeff Berman comprise Apple Asia. They are going to be performing at the Mattress Factory on January 23rd at 7 o'clock in a concert presented by Chamber Music Pittsburgh. It will be in conjunction with the screening of The Music of Strangers, Yo-Yo Ma and the Silk Road Ensemble. We'll talk about that and also more about Apple Asia in general, but let's begin with a song. Here is Apple Asia. Apple Asia at the Saturday Light Brigade. I just put a picture of them up on Facebook. It's really hard to get a picture of Mimi while she's playing. You're very, she's always in motion, moving around. Mimi, I'm so happy you're here. I know you've been under the weather. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
She's playing Erhu. Sue Powers is here playing banjo and tuning it, as is Jeff playing, well, he's tuning. A lap dulcimer. Some folks might be hearing Apple Asia for the first time. In fact, I think a lot of people are hearing Apple Asia for the first time. It's Apple, A-P-P-A-L, as in Appalachia, and Asia, A-S-I-A, as in Asia. And can one of you sort of explain how this all came about? It's really a remarkable fusion of East and West.
Well, we really came together not with any plan to do anything in particular at first, other than just play together. Sue and I have played a lot together, and when we met Mimi, we just wanted to explore what these instruments could be like playing together, and it's really evolved into a whole other thing, where at first we were playing, Mimi would bring in an old Chinese tune, and we would bring in older traditional American tunes or British Isles kinds of tunes, and we would start to see the similarities between the tunes, and that's what we're starting to build on. And then it just evolved into all of us bringing in songs and instrumental tunes that we were writing because we were being inspired by playing together. So that's what we were bringing in together. And that first song that we did is a great example of an Appalachia kind of thing, because that was us combining two different tunes. We took a tune called The Spotted Pony, which is a traditional American kind of fiddle tune, and Bird Singing in the Mountain, which is a traditional Chinese tune. And we took elements of both of those and put them together. As we like to call it, we Appalachia-fied them. And we created this whole other tune. And had we had a chance to speak for a second beforehand, I would have asked the listeners to try to pick out where the American tune starts and the Chinese tune picks up and where it leads back into the American tune.
It seemed pretty seamless to me. I was listening very carefully, and it seemed like one, you know, complete, you know, what's the word, integral compilation.
Yeah. Well, that's what inspired that, you know, hearing one tune and go, well, you know, that Mimi brought in the bird tune, and it was like, wow, that kind of reminds me of this tune. And they're like sister tunes, and we just were like, let's put them together.
Yeah, it's so relaxing. You know, da, 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 da. It's still in my head. It's relaxing. Yeah. I could almost see people dancing to it. It's at a right pace for some people to dance to.
Birds dancing.
Yeah. You heard Jeff Berman playing Lab Dulcimer talking a moment ago, Mimi?
Oh, I just want to say something about this bird singing in the mountain. Actually, we only take a little part of that song, that piece that was written by an erhu and pipa master and also a composer. In his short life, he only wrote 10 pieces of erhu solo and some pipa solos. And it's more to that piece, but we only took these little two phrases, and the rest of the pieces are a little bit different than these two phrases, so it's a lot of variety in this piece. And when I play this part, people always think like, hey, it sounds like a Celtic
it
song.
Did sound Celtic, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also a tongue twister.
It took us a little while to learn it.
I can imagine.
Because it's a different sequence of progression of chords and melody that's different from the square dance tunes that I'm used to playing on the banjo, almost inside out. But yet there's enough commonality that it's really pretty easy.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing of really kind of digging into these tunes from different traditions that seem similar on the surface. And then when you really try to get into the heart of what they're about, we're used to maybe going left with a tune, and tunes from another tradition will go right when we expect them to go left, which is part of the beauty. It's like language. It's like the differences in language.
Well, and that exploration must be incredible, because I'm sure as you start this journey with a couple songs or with a new song, you really don't know where you're exactly going to end up most of the time. You might have an idea, but that may not be where you finish. Is that accurate?
Well, and that's often the case with the tunes that we bring in that we write. And more and more our repertoire is really original material. Whereas early on, when we first got together, we were really just finding our ground and relying more on either traditional tunes or tunes from other composers that one of us knew. So when we bring in a new piece, it's kind of a sketch, and it's not unlike, you know, like playing a jazz tune, where you come in with a tune, it's got a structure, it's got a melody, and then we want it to kind of take on a life of its own. It's written for us. You know, if we write something specifically for us, it's like, okay, well, now everybody's got to bring something to it, you know, to really make it come to life. So that's one of the beautiful things for
us. Yeah, you each have room with very distinct instruments to stretch out and sort of wallow, let's say wade in what you've made and sort of enjoy it. And
we like to think of it as marinating, you know.
Marinating is much better. I like it. Marinating is much better. Wallow has probably a negative connotation that I don't mean, but marinate.
Wallow means you don't get out. You don't find a way out.
We don't want that. Although, I don't know. It'd be nice to listen to you continuously. This group, it's Apple Asia. And why don't we listen to another song? And then after it, we'll tell you a little bit about the opportunity that you have to see them on Tuesday. It's a Pay What You Wish event taking place right here on the north side in Pittsburgh at the Mattress Factory Contemporary Art Gallery. And we'll give you more details about that, because I think you would enjoy seeing Apple Asia as much as you're enjoying hearing them. So what's the next song that you'll do?
The next tune is a new tune we haven't recorded yet, and it's called The Rooftop. And it's a song that I wrote based on a memory of my parents telling me what downtown Pittsburgh used to be like when they both worked downtown. And I'm a Pittsburgher, grew up here, and I remember as a young girl that the downtown streets were just packed with people all the time. And we went downtown all the time to do our shopping, hang out. And I always have these strong images of when they worked in the Golf Building and different places. And that was exciting for them to work downtown. But it was full of people. And as the years went by and I grew older, less and less people were on the streets downtown. Seems to be coming back. So that was the inspiration for this song. And also, we find ourselves playing for New Year's Eve a lot downtown. And this is my kind of version of Auld Lang Syne. Slow, you just don't know. crush all misfortune's fears. Good times will soon be here.
Apple, Asia, Larry, and Vanessa, say hello. They wish they could be here to see you. And asked us to give you their love. They're enjoying listening. That song, talking about Pittsburgh, and, you know, I grew up here too. It's startling to people younger than we are to tell them about how you used to come out of the Squirrel Hill tunnels heading into town, and you would look to your left and see this big hulking steel plant with flames belching smoke. And in fact, as I think about that, that seems like a time so far and long away. And listening to that song, and I think of downtown where we did all of our shopping. My mom didn't drive, so we frequently took buses downtown. Mm-hmm. And the streets, indeed, I mean, you know, 3-4 abreast, people walking and crowded on the streets. And it's not only that our city has changed, but I think life has changed a little bit. The city's growing more vibrant, but it's not quite that pace of everybody doing the same thing at the same time, maybe. That's a beautiful song.
Yeah, no, I had to adjust to that change of sometimes being the only person on the street downtown, especially late at night. But I love how people are making their homes downtown now. And the biggest change for me in Pittsburgh is the clean rivers and having access to the shore, and to be able to play in the river, which we didn't do so much.
No, that was not even on the menu of options, I don't think. Apple Asia is going to be, and I just put a link on our Facebook site. There's also one on our website. This really remarkable opportunity to see a film called The Music of Strangers featuring Yo-Yo Ma and the Silk Road Ensemble. But before the film will be screened, Apple Asia is going to perform. It's a production of Chamber Music Pittsburgh. It's January 23rd, Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Mimi, can you tell us a little bit? I sense, knowing your musical promotion capabilities, I sense you have some involvement in putting this together. Am I right?
I wasn't involved in putting this together, but I am really thrilled about this film because I have been advocating that we show this film in Pittsburgh, and it has been showing everywhere in other cities. I had the opportunity to attend the Silk Road Global Musician Workshop put together by Mike Block, who is a cellist from the Silk Road Ensemble. And I had the good fortune to work with people like Shane Shanahan, the percussionist there, and Wu Man, the pipa master, and Sandeep Das, the tabla player. So I will know these people when I see the film, and that is very special.
Can you describe the film? Is it mostly a concert?
Or? It's documentary. I have not seen the film myself, but people from the Global Musician Workshop have been playing in other cities, have been playing before the show, the movies.
Yeah, it sounds like a great film, and I understand it's Grammy nominated.
Right.
The soundtrack. And basically, the evening will run, I think, from 7 to 10. You'll play for a while, and then the film will be run. And
yes.
If not formally so, I'm sure there'll be opportunities to talk afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that music is really about people, and that's what Silk Road Ensemble is about. And knowing the musician, they are really human beings first. And that's how we are. I feel very comfortable with Jeff and Sue. We're based on tradition, and we cannot, I mean, we are proud of the tradition, but we are very curious to get out of the tradition and to explore something new, to do things that may be not common for other people, but we just love this creating and the new mindset, and basically it's like an adventure for us.
Yeah, and it we were talking a little bit off the air about this too, is the notion of the human aspect of all of this. I've always loved listening to you because you're very present as musicians. You're creating very much in the same space as those who are listening. I think, you know, there's a reason they call it a concert. You're performing in concert with somebody else. So I think you are aware of your surroundings and the people as you play. And I like the risks that you take to try to create different sounds. So I hope you'll get to meet all three, you know, the whole group, Apple Asia, this coming Tuesday night. And it should be a great space at the Mattress Factory to listen. And you can get more information. We've linked to the very specific part of the event page of Chamber Music Pittsburgh, or you could go to Apple Asia's website too, which I don't have in my head. Is it appleasia.com? That's easy. appalasia.com.
And Chamber Music Pittsburgh has a Facebook page about this event.
Oh, good,
as well.
Good. It just looks really terrific. What would you like to do next?
We are going to play Four Hills. A piece that came to me actually when I was traveling in Turkey. So that's another example of exploring new culture and take it in. And this was my feeling of Turkish music. Of course, it is not Turkish music, but it's like Turkish-ish for me. And you can see the ocean, the Mediterranean sea, and the Cappadocia, the mountain. You can hear it. You will figure out Cappadocia, and then goodbye from Istanbul.
Here again, Apple Asia. Thank you. Apple Asia at the Saturday Light Brigade, Four Hills, song. And I really, that's a good example of how the Erhu sounds like somebody singing, as it can. As Jeff began with this sort of nice jazzy kind of beat, I actually closed my eyes for a minute, and then the Erhu came in, and for a minute, I thought somebody was singing, and I knew better than that. But it's just, the Erhu is a really versatile instrument, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a chameleon. You put it to any continent, any country, any corner of the world, it sings like human voice.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And I would encourage you, if you don't know what one looks like, you can Google it. It's easy, right?
E-R-H-U,
Erhu. Yeah, but it's it is difficult to describe on the radio, but picture I guess sort of a staff or a neck with a can kind of shape on the bottom of it. But you should take a look at it. How do we know how old the Erhu is?
It's over 1,000 years old. That's what we know.
Yeah.
It's brought to China from the north by the Han people.
My goodness. And I don't know how old the lap dulcimer is. That must go back at least a couple hundred years, I would think.
Well, the dulcimer in the form that we know it as the Appalachian mm-hmm. mountain dulcimer has evolved from instruments that were brought over from Western Europe. There's a German instrument called a Scheitholt that was basically, we'll keep this short. It was basically just the neck of the instrument. If you go on our website, you'll see what these instruments look like. The neck goes across the whole body, and you hold it in your lap. So the Scheitholt was just this neck part without the body.
Interesting.
But there's an Icelandic instrument called a Langalik, which looks like this instrument, but with only the body of the top. So I'm sure I'm not a scholar about this, yeah. And I might get a lot of flack about this. It's hard to say exactly what is what with this, but it makes sense that all these German settlers came to Western Pennsylvania mm-hmm. and then went south into the Appalachian Mountains, and so the instrument that we know evolves from the Scheitholt, and then they just put the body on it just to make it louder. And There's way more that we won't go into now.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a museum of musical instruments somewhere. There must be, right? That
Phoenix.
There's one in Phoenix, the Musical Instrument Museum.
That would be incredible. Gosh,
it's a great place because it's very interactive as well. You wear headphones and you walk around and you point your little device at the different displays and it demonstrates the instruments, so you can be just like totally zoned out in like some Tuvin, zone with their instruments while somebody across the room is listening to, alpine horns or something,
Oh, very neat.
And you don't have to get in each other's way. It's very cool.
If you're just joining us, Apple Asia is here. I think they have two more songs that they're going to do. I want to encourage you to go to their website, appleasia.com, or go to the Facebook page of the Pittsburgh or of Chamber Music Pittsburgh. You can learn more about their January 23rd concert this Tuesday, where the film called The Music of Strangers, Yo-Yo Ma and the Silk Road Ensemble will play right after Apple Asia performs. The evening should run from about 7 to 10. You'll undoubtedly meet some interesting people there, not only these people that are here, but folks that are attracted to listen to music and that kind of setting. So I think you would enjoy it. When we come back, maybe after the next song, I want to be sure that we mention your recordings that are available for people that are really enjoying listening. So if that's of interest to you, and if you want to jot something down, we'll talk about that after the next song. So we did, or we did, you did Four Hills. What's next?
This next tune is called Broken Teapot, and it was part of a whole series of tunes, but just lately, the way this is a tune that evolved into something, we totally Appalachia-fied this tune, and it reminds me of those cartoons from many, many decades ago where when you turn the lights out in the kitchen and all of a sudden the kitchen comes to life and all the dishes and the electric razors and everything just comes to life.
Like with the elongated images, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I can remember that. Who wrote, did you write this together, I guess? Well,
I wrote it and we Appalachia-fied it. It would not sound the way it does without Mimi and Sue's input into this.
Jeff brought us the sketch, and he played it as a solo piece for himself, and we have to create all our own parts. He doesn't write them for us. We write our own parts that'll fit, and we, you know, play around with it for a while until, you know, organically it becomes, you know, as we call it, we own this tune. Mm-hmm. When we own it. We feel it's inside us. We know it.
Well, here it is. It's called Broken Teapot.
Right, and Mimi will play the part of steam. Thank you.
gosh, that's a fun song. The not just the teapot and steam, but the you fit together so well on all of your songs, but on that one, I particularly just hearing the rhythms synced across all of the instruments and the energy sort of flowing across each of you, but also sometimes equally within each of you, almost like a boiling pot of water, different parts of the water having key. I don't know if that makes it's just really neat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes the water's simmering, sometimes it's boiling, sometimes it's the steam's coming out of the cracks of the broken teapot.
Yeah. I want to add also that all these instruments are not native in this country. So we're from Europe, Africa, and Asia, and we're migrants. And what good about this is that I can speak only for myself. I am not home anywhere, but I'm home at where I am now.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I never thought about that. You know, the banjo from Africa, the dulcimer from Europe, and from Asia, we have the erhu. So and the beauty of music, but also the beauty of people with minds to create music, blending those together. It's gorgeous. There are two albums available, and you can get them at CD Baby or just go to appleasia.com, and there's a link there. You'll be able to find them, and their downloads, or you can get the physical CDs. Do you have anything coming up? I know your last CD, I think, was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's called Cargo. That was the last one. A couple of the tunes that we're playing today are tunes that we're developing for a new record, and we'll see what it's going to take to make that happen.
Yeah, it takes time.
It takes time and
money.
It does take that. So start putting your pennies in the piggy bank, folks, and we might be reaching out at some point. But we're developing a bunch of new music for that at this point, because each record with us seems to evolve to a new place, because we're continuously evolving this music, because we're curious about not only our own instruments and taking them to different places, but how that works together.
I think the recordings are worthwhile too, because I think depending on the mood you are in and where you are as you listen, you're going to hear them differently as you listen to them repeatedly, because of not so much the complexity, but the depth of each recording. It gives you just, you can have an adventure listen.
I think that's always a great way to put it. You know, speaking of the depth of art, and what you get out of it is how deep you choose to jump in the water at any given time. You know, it may take you a long, long time to decide to go way down with it, and which is a beautiful thing, because then all of a sudden, when you do take that leap, you hear or see or discover something that's been there, but you didn't get it. So it's all about relationships, you know.
I really want to thank Jeff Berman, Sue Powers, and Mimi Zhang, Apple Asia. They have one more song to do. One more opportunity for me to remind you that you can catch them Tuesday, January 23rd, 7 o'clock, at the Mattress Factory in a concert presented by Chamber Music Pittsburgh, which will be followed by a screening of The Music of Strangers, Yo-Yo Ma, and the Silk Road Ensemble. What would you like to play to close us out?
The last tune we'll do is called Dark Sky City. And a dark sky city is a designation that's given to cities that don't have a lot of ambient light at night to obstruct your view of the night sky. There are parks that have it, and then now there are several cities across the world that have that designation. And it's interesting, we're playing at the Mattress Factory on Tuesday night, and the whole way I'd even discovered the concept of a dark sky city was through reading about James Turrell, the artist who works with light, and he actually has an installation at the Mattress Factory right now.
Wow.
And I was reading about he has a space, it's like an old volcano in Arizona outside of Flagstaff. And he's working on this monumental project out there. But in reading about that, they were talking about how Flagstaff is a dark sky city. And so to me, it was just a fascinating thing, this whole thing with light. And
yeah, so coincidental too. We will look for you next week here on the Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks for meeting us here. And Apple Asia closes us out now. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.